Everybody's enjoying themselves. Amen. Yes. Yes.
Because I can give her this one too. I'll make copies later. So you have that one. I'll give her this one. So you can get other ones.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to get started. There's some. Romel's passing out some guides for the morning service, so you can try to keep up with Brother Puller. You can try to keep up with him. So, but we like that. We do. We like it a bunch. We need some. All of us old folks here need some of that energy. Yeah. So it's nice to have. If you'd all rise and turn over to number 660, and we're gonna sing. There is sunshine in my soul. Amen. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there's sunshine in my soul. There is springtime in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows a smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love, for blessings which he gives me now, for joys laid up above. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. Amen. Let's see. Brother Zimmerman, would you pray for us this morning? Yes.
Pray, Lord,
thank
the
you.
Word is preached, that you open our hearts to be willing to listen.
Yes.
And that we be obedient.
Yes.
I pray that you give him unction and help him to give us the message that we need to hear. Mm-hmm. We ask your blessings on everything that's said.
Yes.
That you might receive the honor and the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, now may be seated. See, we have a scripture reading this morning. Amen.
Good morning. Today I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of our dry land. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul on an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen.
Amen.
The words are too small this by the
city. Let's turn over to 452. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Everlasting arms. Amen. Would you all rise? And for our offering hymn, we're going to sing number 428. 428. Would the ushers please come at the end of the song? A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not come move. He giveth me strength for each day. He hideth my life in the depths of his love that cattles a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Amen. Brother Roger, would you pray for us?
Again, Father, we come to you with thankful hearts, Lord, for the many blessings you give us. We pray, Lord, that you, everything that is done here today will be to glorify you.
Yes.
Be with our speaker today as he breaks open the bread of life to us, and hearts and minds will be true to your word. Again, we thank you for this church. We thank you, Lord, for the help you've been giving us in our transition. Lord, we just thank you and lift up our missionaries to you now, that you be with them, guide them, direct them, and protect them, Lord. And Lord, we thank you so much for they distribute the gospel throughout the world. Again, use this offering not only for the gospel here, but throughout the world where the missionaries preach and teach. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross for us and shedding our blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus. Amen. We're so blessed to have Brother Pooler and Sister Pooler here, Evelyn. And we're glad that they're here to share the word of God with us again. Loria passed on to me that she's going to have surgery at Otay.
Hopefully
soon. Hopefully at Otay soon. So we need to keep her in prayer, keep Frank in prayer. There's a lot of folks that we need to keep in prayer, so let's do that. Brother Pooler, come on up, brother. Amen. Yes, sir. Oh, before that, Brother Johnny has a special for us. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
You know what? I didn't realize it until after God saved my soul. That while I was in my sin, in the depths of my sin, in the darkness, that I could not see, I'm so glad that my Jesus, while he was on his way to Calvary, he looked ahead in time and remembered me. Please.
When he came to the manger, the cross was in his view. It was his life fulfilling mission, the end of all he would do. Now only once while on his journey was his heavenly glory died. Only one brilliant moment, and he laid his glory aside. He's tough, the kind to be a friend and broken heart to mend. He took the time to help blinded eyes to see. He took the time to kneel and pray his father's feet to obey. He took the time on his way to Calvary. Oh, he took the time for you and me. Knowing that his hour was near, when Satan forces he would meet, he took the time to gird himself and to wash his disciples' feet. Now even hanging on that cross, when he heard a sinner pray, he took the time to hear it cry and to show to him the way. He took the time to be a friend and broken heart to mend. He took the time to help my blinded eyes to see. He took the time to kneel and pray his Father's will to obey. He took the time on his way to Calvary. He took the time to kneel and pray for his Father's will to obey. Oh, he took the time on his way to Calvary. He took the time on his way to Calvary.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did, beloved. He took the time to look for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord.
Brother Puller, now.
Nothing like baiting a Baptist preacher. I told him, I said, y'all remember last time I was here, I was preaching on only 5 hours of rest, and it seemed like I was going fast then. Well, I got 7 hours of rest last night. So, and as a drill instructor, when I would work on 5 hours of sleep yelling at recruits, if you gave me 7, I felt like I could take on every battalion at Paris Island. But those of you who have made my wife feel very welcome, my wife Vivian down here, she'd stand. And see, I told you, I do have a wonderful, wonderful wife. Somebody to take. See, so, but thank you very much. And I'm very honored to be here again. I never get tired of being honored. I don't want to ever get tired of being honored to preach for any body of believers, just to preach God's word. And so if you would, in honor of God's word, stand for the reading of his word. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 6 to 12. Verses 6 to 12. If you're able to stand, that's just in honor of God's word, not for me, not for anything else, but the reading of God's word. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 12, the word of God tells us this: I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you that you allow us to be exposed to your written word, the love that you have for us. I pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit would fill this place, that your glory would be magnified, you would be lifted up, and that Christ be seen, and that you would be pleased with all that's said and done here. And dear God, preach that which you'd have for your people here today through me. And I'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. This passage of scripture I use because I was driving down the road one day from Bible college. God usually gives me the titles of my messages before I go to actually find the content. And I was reminded, and I can't even remember how it was. That's how I know I'm getting old, because I can't remember just a few years ago how it was that God had given me this passage of scripture, this topic, and of a phrase that we most of us know. We all think it was from Marie Antoinette when she gave the words to, hey, your people are starving, have no bread to eat, and she says, let them eat cake. And it was quoted many years before. It was written by a man named Jean-Jacques Rousseau in his autobiography, Confessions, where he mentioned it. And I started to think about that. It made me think of a funny story where a dad whose mom, the wife was got to sleep in that day, so it was his turn to feed the kids breakfast. Well, what? I've never made breakfast for my kids. What do I feed them? And so he goes down there and he goes, okay, bacon and eggs and milk. And he says, so she gets all the juice out, and the kid says, we want chocolate cake. No, you can't have chocolate. Yes, chocolate cake. Dad, give us chocolate cake. And he says, I began to think, well, what's in chocolate cake? You got eggs, water, milk, and I can give them a glass of juice on the side, so there's nutrients there in chocolate cake. So, yeah, he gets out the chocolate cake and starts cutting it up, and the kids start to sing the praises to Dad because he's giving chocolate cake to them for breakfast. All because he reasoned what was in the ingredients. And they're having a grand old time until she walked in. Because she got woke up by the loud singing. And she walked in and she had that, he says, she had that look on her face. He says, I can't even do the look. It's just something that belongs to the mom. And she walked in and they froze. And she said, who gives these kids chocolate cake for breakfast? And he says, and these kids of mine, who were once singing praises to Dad for giving them chocolate cake, all of a sudden, in unison, turned and said, Dad said we could have chocolate cake, but we wanted eggs and bacon or pancakes. And I began to think, like this gentleman did, looking for a church today with a pastor, or I'll call him the baker, is not easy to do, because you need to find out, whatever church you go to, that the gospel cake that they're making has the only ingredients that it needs to have. It doesn't have, you have to find the right baker, but we care about the ingredients first, because you could have a decent baker, but if he doesn't put in the ingredients that belong into that cake, and it's not going to be the cake that you or this neighborhood or this world, this nation needs. So I started to think, like that man, well, the gospel is like a cake. The word of God, the Bible said, is sweet, sweeter than honey. And it's just sweeter than the honeycomb. And it's wonderful. It's tasteful. It sometimes doesn't, even when it doesn't taste good, it's good for us. So I said, well, what's in the gospel cake? So I started going over the ingredients of the gospel cake. And the very first ingredient I see is, it's real simple, it's Christ. He's the initial ingredient. He's like everything that you add the other ingredients to make the cake. Because it says in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 1, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. It's his gospel. It's his story. It's his offering to us. It's nobody else's. It belongs solely. If you're hearing another gospel of any other person whose name, and it's his name, is placed in place of Christ, then you are not hearing the gospel. You're not getting the right cake. And bless God, I'm telling you right now, no matter what baker you choose to put behind this pulpit, you better make sure that he knows how to give you the right ingredients. Regardless of what, when it comes to the main thing is the main thing, and that's preaching the gospel. You're here to win souls. You're here to influence this neighborhood, your Jerusalem, if you will, so that you can go out into Judea and into Samaria and into Judea so that you can influence it. But if you can't influence, you're not getting the right gospel, you're not going to influence your Jerusalem. The initial ingredient is Christ. It's his gospel. Matthew 1:21 says, for he shall save his people from their sins. Notice when Jesus came, they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the one who would relieve them and remove the persecution from them. But that's not why he came. He came to save his people from their sins. And when they didn't receive him, he saved me from mine. Christ is the chief cornerstone. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, we can turn over to chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. And it says here, now ye are therefore no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The initial ingredient. It's the chief ingredient. If you're going to make a cake, imagine what it would be like. You get your eggs, you get your water, and you get your oil, and you get your butter, but you don't have the cake mix. You have all those, the initial ingredient. You got to have the mix so you can add those ingredients too. The foundational ingredient is Jesus Christ. Christ is the only name in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Christ is the only name whereby we must be saved. No other name, not Allah, not Muhammad, not Hare Krishna, not anybody else, not David Pooler, not no matter what you could name. It's Jesus is the name by which we are commanded to be saved by. The foundational base ingredient is vital, but the rest of the ingredients are no less important. And they must be carefully added. And you could probably come up with any other order you want to, but since I'm the one preaching the message, I chose this order. And I think when you see the order, you're going to see that they get added, I think, in nearly the order of their importance. Because the very first thing, it says, and you have to be careful how you add them. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 and 11, Paul himself says, let every man take heed how he buildeth upon. You had a man of God, that man right there, Pastor Wetzel, was the pastor of this church for a number of years. God chose him to be here. He was your baker. He presented the word of God to you day in, week out. And now Now, Paul is talking there and says, hey, it's your job now that when you find the next man of God, he better know 1 Corinthians 3, 9-11, and let every man that comes in behind this baker, because he started building upon the foundation that is Christ, and he preached the word, and he's building up all on top of this foundation. Now, the next man that comes in, let him take heed how he buildeth thereupon what's been started here. The next ingredient I add, or I believe that the Bible adds, is you add sweet grace. Sweet grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Same chapter we're in. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Recently at our church in Bible Baptist Church up in Victorville, when you ask somebody for a testimony, anybody got something they want to be thankful for? I could ask that here today, and I could tell you pretty much, guess a few much. Everyone would, we're all thankful for our salvation. We're all thankful, some of these things that we all be thankful for. But I'm going to tell you one thing you can be thankful for that'll sum everything else up in a nutshell. Grace. Because here's the thing. The first test of any gospel message that's preached, is grace. If any other ingredient is added, mingled, or mixtured with grace, it is not the gospel. It's not grace plus works. It's not grace plus tithing. It's not grace plus church attendance or membership. It's not grace plus baptism. It's grace. Grace, period. And if you look at it this way, so here's the thing. And then if it's grace that justifies and begins the sanctification process, then if it's not grace, or if it's grace mixed with something else, then it becomes what Paul said is another gospel. And it's not really another gospel. It's just that there's some among you that would pervert the existing gospel. And if that be, he says, even if an angel from heaven... Imagine that. Wasn't there an angel from heaven that came preaching another gospel? He did it to Eve. Yeah. Satan is not the ugly demon that you want to see in pictures. And he wants people to believe that, I could spot Satan a mile away looking like that. But he's an angel of light. He was the most beautiful angel created. And he came from heaven. After he sinned, he got cast out of heaven, and then he tries to immediately pervert the words of God. And then he perverts the gospel. Grace. Grace, it's sufficient for all, but only efficient for those who call upon the name of the Lord. Grace is, the Bible says that it's sufficient enough to save everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord. All the people of all the sins of the whole world. But it's only going to be effective and efficient for those that ask for it. Justifying grace. In Romans 3:24, we see the justifying grace, being justified freely. People say that word justified, and I think I mentioned it the last time I was here. Just as if I had never sinned. Take that definition. If I didn't say it before, I'm saying it to you now. Take that definition and put it in the trash. Because I'm going to tell you what justification really is. Justification is grace taking me, going before a holy God, and him saying not guilty. To a guilty, rotten, wretched sinner like me. That's what justification is. Not just as if I never sinned, because I did sin, and I still will. Grace is saying, David, you are not guilty. And think about this. If my guilt got removed, he had to turn to the Son who hung on the cross and said, guilty. He took my guilt, became my guilt, bore my guilt. He became guilty, the innocent. By all for grace, abundant grace in Romans 5:20. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And then you have repentant grace in Romans 6:1 through 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How we being dead to sin can live any longer and remain there. Here's the thing. It's not that you won't ever sin. But you know that when you do sin, here's one thing you can tell whether you truly are born again. It's not how many times you sin after you get saved, but do you like being where you're at when you're sinning? Because if you're a child of God, you will not like being there. I will tell you this as God is my witness, when I walked like the prodigal son after I got saved, not a time went by when after I would, when sin is fun. People, I asked my third grade class, is sin fun? And they go, no. I said, wait a minute. I didn't say, is it good? Is it healthy? Is it right? Is it fun? Moses chose to not have the pleasures of sin for a season. So obviously sin is pleasurable or people wouldn't do it. And I'm going to tell you something. Those times when I walked where I shouldn't have walked, there were not a time went by that I didn't look up and be terrified, because my God could have said, you're done. Especially if putting up with it like he did. His long-sufferingness. Another thing about grace. You know the definition of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, but I want to tell you to put that one on the back burner too. Simple, cut and dry, grace is getting something or receiving something that you cannot earn, did not deserve, or ever will deserve. So, well, when you think of grace, what's the other side of the coin to grace? Mercy. Well, let's see what mercy means. Mercy is not receiving what you do deserve, i.e. judgment. So I began to think, do you realize something? Grace can be present without mercy. I can show grace to any one of you. If I came off today and I dug into my pocket and I walked up to David, if I actually gave him my Christmas present my wife gave me, this Marine Corps watch, first of all, I probably wouldn't be driving home, not least in a pine, I would be in a pine box. But I give it to him, because I want him to be better, I want to give him a Marine Corps watch instead of a Navy one. But, did he deserve it or do anything to earn it? No, it was a gift. So was mercy present there? No, mercy wasn't present. But let's say David took my watch, which he tried to do this morning, by the way. And let's say that I found it out, and he came to me and said, hey, you know what, I was going to keep this, and I can't, brother, and it's not. And so I forgive him. That's mercy. But do I have to forgive him? So when I forgive him, what's present at the same time I'm showing him mercy? Grace. Mercy holds the hand of grace and is a sheer byproduct of grace itself. So when you are thankful for grace, it covers being thankful for God's love. Because without God's grace, I never would have known God's love. It's not God's word. Yes, I see it in there. Because did God's love exist before I knew God's grace? Yes, it did, because God existed before all time. So, and since he's love, he's always been love, even before we knew it. So grace taught us that. And it's grace that tells us that we can, about the mercy. It's grace that shows us his long suffering. So grace, adding sweet grace. Then you pour in love. The next ingredient is you pour in love. And you know what? You know how I love the women that bake and I something. And here's the thing. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. My wife will attest to this, and she's here right now. Can I cook? You want to know who cooked the first 6 months to a year when we got married? This guy. And everyone kept asking her if she had a brother. And I said, yep, but he's nothing like me. I cooked. I baked. And sometimes I'll take the recipe and I'll go like this. Pour the sugar in there. I'll follow it, But there are times when I want to add and make, and I want to not add to it, but I'll put all the ingredients in. But if it says, if two tablespoons of sugar is good, then I think, say, 6 tablespoons is better. So, I mean, right? Come on, now that's just a good way of thinking. So pouring in love. Can you have too much love? No. God's own special ingredient. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. You pour in love, the everlasting ingredient. It's an everlasting ingredient. Jeremiah 31:3, God says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Everlasting love, it's an eternal. You cannot, true, genuine, agape love, there's my $5 Greek word, agape. Agape love, you cannot copy it. You can't imitate it, as far as you can't create a fake copy of it. It's either agape or it's not agape. And if it's agape, you can't have too much agape. You can't have too much agape. It's the motivational ingredient. 1 John 4:19 says this, that herein is love, not that we love God, but he first loved us. People sit there, and I just got somebody from down in this area too, by the way. I'm not really political, but you know the people that are out there today. And he blasted me. Because I made the comment that I would prefer Carson. I like Ben Carson. I like Rubio. Then Cruz. Trump is not the greatest choice, but I would prefer him over the other two Democratic choices. So when I said that, he, knowing who I was, because I preached at a church of his or a long time ago, and he begins to blast me openly on Facebook. Says, I'm disappointed in you that you're a man of God and how you are dividing the people with your comments and being a pro-Trump guy. I said, first of all, and then he goes and says that he starts talking about his 12,000 people he's led to the Lord. Stop right there. I try never to say, I led so-and-so to the Lord, because I didn't lead anybody. The Holy Spirit drew that person to himself and allowed me to be the one that was just happened to be there to, bam, there's the flower that grew out of the seed that was already planted. And the Holy Spirit did the watering and the watering and the watering and the wooing. It's not me. None of us lead anybody to Christ. And we say that, I know we know what we mean, but we need to be careful. God draws people to himself. And just allows us the privilege of being the one that sees the fruition of the fruit. Amen. Wow. So I used to say, well, I got to lead so-and-so to Christ. No, I don't lead anybody. I just got to share the word of God to the Holy Spirit's wooing, and that person got saved. So we don't lead people to Christ. It's God's love that causes the preaching of the word of God, that under the hearing of the word of God, if someone's here today and isn't saved, then the Holy Spirit's probably knocking at your heart saying, you want that cake. You want that cake, and you don't have to pay for that cake because the cake's paid for, and you can take it. So Holy Spirit's drawing you, wooing you, and I'm just the one that gets the throw out the stuff. I get to throw the confetti. I get to throw all the ingredients out. And he puts it together. You get the love as the motivational ingredient. Then you stir in the water of the Word of God. The water of the Word of God. The living water of the Word of God. Ephesians 5:25-27. Ephesians 5, well, 25 and 26 will say, when you look at it, it says 25, well, I wasn't there yet. I had it on my little card, but says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word of God, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Holy and without blemish. It's his word, it's his water. He does the cleansing, he does the sanctifying, and he does the presenting, guess who? To himself. And we get to go along for the ride. Again, justification is being declared not guilty. It's a one-time, at the moment of salvation, occurrence. Justification, when you are born again, will never occur again. It's permanent. Sanctification is a process. It's a lifetime process where the Holy Spirit uses men of God to preach the Word of God, and the water of the Word of God is applied to this church, this local church body, and they are washed by it, they are cleansed by it, they are sanctified by it, so that one day when God comes back to call out his church, this is the local church of Bible Baptist Church at Chula Vista. He will call out his church one day and be able to present to himself a bride without blemish, pure and spotless, cleansed by the washing of the water of his word. Living water in John 4:10. Thirst-quenching water in John 4:14. And we already know cleansing water is Psalm 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking, not by reading, but by taking heed thereto, according to his word. And then you compare that with Romans 12, 1 and 2. What does Romans 12, 1 and 2 say? Y'all know it. It says that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's your and he calls it your reasonable service. So you know what that means? We gloss over it. We gloss over it. Sacrifice. When you think of sacrifice, if I just said sacrifice, what do you think? You think something that dies. But he says a living sacrifice. So he says, David, I want you to daily kill yourself, but you're going to live in me. For me, to me, of me, about me, but David himself is dead every day. David has to put to death himself every day. Because if I let, that's why I don't, oh, what we need is we just need to have a little self-esteem. No, we don't. We need to have less self-esteem. We need to have more God esteem, more others esteem. And that's not easy to do, folks, even if you're a godly person. Because self is strong. As I asked you to stand, you have the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God that is powerful, it is sharp, and it is profitable for all aspects of life. It tears asunder the soul and the spirit. It cuts. There are great times when if you get to come to a service and you get to hear that encouraging message. Yes, but bless God, you better not have all sweet messages, because they better come. When you come here, you need to leave here. Ooh, oh, that hurt, preacher. Well, it wasn't me. It was the Word of God. And you know how many times and that I've come home and told my wife, and I preach on Saturdays at the elderly care facility, or even some places like here, I've preached in a message at one church, and I'll be preaching, bless God, and I go, ooh, during my own preaching, wow, that's just so unfair. Well, wait a minute, no, it's not, because I'm a hearer too. When I preach to you, as I said last time I was here, unless I can't hear myself, then I'm preaching to me too. So when I say you, I mean me. And I say We. It's the word of God that cuts. And it's nice to have the ointment. It's nice to have the salve. It's nice to have the sugar and the sweetness. But there's also, it's like that bittersweet. I say it all the time. It's bittersweet to get old. It's great. I wouldn't trade it for anything. As far as, because I don't want to be, people say, well, if I could go back, oh, I'd love to go back when I was, no, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to change anything. Because my wife and I were talking about a while ago. I said, man, you know, if someone said, David, if you could go back and undo some of the sin that you did as a child of God, would you do it? And sometimes I thought, yeah, but then I catch myself and say, no. Because I wouldn't be who I am today and where I am today if I had changed any one thing. If I had avoided something that I should have avoided by making the right choice then, if I went back to undo it, I might not have the wonderful life that I have. I might not have ever taken and listened to the call to preach that I did. So if I changed even one thing, and you know what? I might not be as understanding to someone who wants to come to me maybe someday and says, preacher, I had a young man in the Navy come to me at Barstow, and I had just returned from my desert time in my life, and I was going to Trinity Baptist Church, and he met me one time at the dental clinic out there, the medical clinic out in Yermo, and he said, hey, brother, he was a lieutenant, and I said, hey, John, we called him when we were alone. He said, hey, brother David, and I'm like, oh, I said, we were kind of by ourselves. I said, what can I do for you, sir? And he said, can I talk to you about something? And I said, sure, anything. I'm here for you. What can I do for you? He says, well, I'm having an issue with, have you ever, he goes, no, never mind. He said, David, he says, I'm sorry. He said, I don't want to bother you. And I said, no. I said, John, I said, what is it? I said, I could tell by the look on his face that it was something that was really weighing on him. So he tried again, and he said, have you ever thought, you know what? He said, David, he says, I see the way you are at church. He says, I can see your relationship with God is really close, and you wouldn't understand. So he tried one more time, and he again paused. And I said, John, can I take a stab at what you're trying to say? And he said, sure, go ahead. As if the expression on his face is, but you ain't gonna get it right. And I said, tell me, John, you're trying to say you've thought this, you felt like this, and you may have even done this. And I got to the third point, and I could see tears welling up in his eyes. And he said, how did you know? And I started to cry, and I said, because I've been there. I said, do not judge a person's godly walk where he's at, what you see, and assume that he would not understand of what you're doing, what you're going through, what you're dealing with. Because Satan doesn't want you to take your problems to your brothers. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. If somebody does, don't you dare. Don't you dare shoot them. Don't you dare pull away from them. When they're down on the ground, you don't spit on them and say, oh, no, I don't want to have... Because, yes, be careful because you don't want to be overtaken, but don't you dare not love them. Because I'll tell you right now, in the middle of my backsliding in Florida, Titusville, Florida, at a Baptist church, I went and I shared something with an older lady in the church, and I said, could you please pray for me because I'm having struggles? And she said, yes, I will. She said, but you want to talk about it? I said, well, I'm involved in this relationship, and I'm doing this, and I'm going this place, and you know what she said to me? She said, David, I will pray that you get saved. And I said, no, ma'am. I said, what part of it I'm already saved? Didn't you understand? I just need you to pray for me that God would help me to put it away. She basically, I was already wounded, and then she put another bullet in the chamber and shot, and assumed, and said she said, well, you can't be saved if you're doing. And that, guess what that did? I walked the other way. Because if I'm going to someone who's a Christian, who's a sister of mine in the Lord, I didn't expect to get further wounded. if God gives you the privilege of somebody else bearing their heart and opening. When I did that to her, I didn't cover. I mean, I didn't fill in all the, but I put the dots out there that only somebody who had no brain at all couldn't connect them. And even they probably could have connected the dots, only I didn't color in the picture. So that's like doing this. Here's my heart. This is what's going on, and I'm being completely honest with you. If God allows you that, don't you ever push that person away. You weep with them and you pray for them and you treat them. So it was a lot later, I went to my cousin Jeff. Praise God for my cousin Jeff, because he probably lessened the number of years, because when I went to him, he already knew what I was doing. And I said, Jeff, and you know what? Sin's addictive. So be very careful. That's why it says beware of the leaven, because when it comes in, it's not easy to get it out. But I went to Jeff and I said, Jeff, I said, you know what I'm doing, but I don't like it. I don't belong here. I know it's not right. And he said, David, let's pray about this. First good response. But this is what really made me cry and made me know that my brother Jeff really loved me, because he could have said, dear God, I'm asking you to help David here. He's struggling in this. But my first words out of his mouth was, Heavenly Father, I'm coming to you on behalf of my brother. He didn't treat me like a kicked out child. He still said, this is my brother and whom I'm praying with and for. Made all the difference in the world to me that time. So we have the washing of the water of the Word of God, and be very careful of that Word of God, because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about your Bibles. Well, if you have a King James Bible, you're going to find the word Savior spelled with a U. This is a small thing to most people, but it's a huge, huge thing to me. I take issue. I won't break fellowship with it. But if I ever see somebody put the word Savior, I don't care if you capitalize the S or not, and spell it without the U, it changes it, I think. Because the word Savior with a U has the word what in it at the end? Our. If you're going to spell Savior without the U, why don't you take Y-O-U-R and just spell it Y-O-R? Because if the U is not important, we don't need it in your either. We can spell Y-O-R. It could be the same. But only a Savior with a U can be the Savior. My Savior, your Savior. Let me hurry up here. I know this is the Baptist church. I knew this the first time, because not one person did I ever hear last time I was here say, you know, preacher, we usually get out of here at like, 12:10, But I did have that one time at a Baptist church. She said, you know, we usually get out of here about 12:10. And I got out, it was about 12:20 or so when we got all said and done. And I said, so I looked at her and I happened to know, where I was the interim pastor at. And I said, the word Baptist is still on the title of this church, is it not? And she said, well, yes, why? I said, because it's not a Baptist church if you end right on time all the time. Never heard it from her again, but. So now we have the water, now we have blending in the blood. Ephesians 1:7 says this, which is not another gospel. Ephesians, I was in that book. Ephesians 1:7 says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Look that verse up in the NIV. And you know what it says? It'll say, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What has been removed? The blood. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you remove blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So you got to have grace. If you mingle it with anything else, you ain't got the gospel. If you take out the blood, you've got no cleansing. No cleansing. Redemption is through his blood. He showed it in Exodus when he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Purchased the church with his blood in Acts 20:28. And you notice in that time, Acts 20:28. I'm gonna look at that one. It says here, take therefore unto yourselves and feed the flock. He's talking about the preachers, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Here's the thing. What is that? The church of who? Church of God. Which he, God, purchased with his own blood. Do you see that there? That's another verse that shows the deity of Christ. Amen. So you don't have to use the old standby that the Father and I are one, or if they want to debate with you on John 1:1, but you can go to Acts 20:28 and you can say God purchased the church with his blood, but it was Jesus that shed his blood, which says Jesus is God.
Amen.
Told you I had 7 hours of sleep. Whoa. Romans 5:9, justified by his blood. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter 1:18-19, it is incorruptible blood. And it's blood that gives us to the access to the Holy of Holies. The high priest, when he would go in to the temple, the tabernacle, he would come up to that huge veil that was layers and layers thick, and he would have a rope tied around his ankle, because they would have bells on. You know what the bells were for the end of his robe? It's because if the bells stopped dingling, something was wrong. That priest didn't take care of his own sin before he took the blood in for the sins of Israel, so then they could pull him out, because nobody else could go in there but the high priest. But it was the blood that allowed him access to that place. And it's the blood that allows me access to the Holy of Holies. I do not have to go through my pastor. I do not have to go through a priest. I do not have to go through any other man. I can turn my bedroom, the moment I kneel or lay down, sit down, the moment I cry out to God and start praying, that becomes the throne room of God right there. And I have access to that, and I have acceptable to that because of the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And I think the blood also gives us access. Access to the Holy of Holies. Without the blood, there's no salvation gospel. It's not the death of Christ. It's the blood of Christ. If he had just died without the bloodshed, it would have been not the right death. Because even in the Old Testament, blood was shed of an innocent animal. It had to be the blood. And lastly, you have all your ingredients. The cake is made. You're taking it out of the oven and you spread on the icing, right? What's the icing? The resurrection. The resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:12-19 talks us about that. We go from 14 to 19. It says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. For if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then also they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You can have the virgin birth. You can have the sinless life. You can have the death. You can have the shed blood. You can have the burial. But without the resurrection, without the icing, you cannot have the gospel cake. Because the resurrection is without the resurrection, it's meaningless of all the other ingredients. I don't know about you, but I don't mind eating cake once in a while without icing. But when my granddaughter made cupcakes and they came out, I could have eaten them. But I wanted to wait for the frosting. I wanted to wait for the frosting because it's the frosting that literally puts the icing on the cake. All the other ingredients are nothing without the resurrection. Oh, it tastes good, it sounds good, it feels good, but it's nothing. Compare churches today with those of 20 years ago. and you will see a rise in the changing of the gospel recipe, a sugarcoating of the word of God. Tonight you're going to hear a message about seasonal preaching. Seasonal preaching. It's going by the wayside. People aren't prepared to preach the whole counsel of God. Not just giving you the candy, the cookies, but giving you the stuff that is not easy to take. You think it was easy for David to take Nathan telling him the story of the man who took this one guy's lamb, his only prized lamb, and he had hundreds and hundreds of sheep to choose from to feed this special guest? But he didn't want to touch his. He wanted to take this guy's only lamb. And when he said, that man should surely die, and Nathan said, thou art the man. What do you think, Dick? Oh, that sword must have just cut him deep. The word of God cut him. Because in Psalm 51, we read just how bad it cut him. Beware of the leaven of liberalism, relativism. The world today does not believe in absolute truth. And the likes have been tolerated within the churches today. And even the music programs are compromised. When I saw a picture of a guy, a friend of mine, who put a picture of a church, and it showed the light show and the band that was playing all the music, and then all of a sudden it showed a picture of a nightclub, and the scenes were no different. When you go into a church and it looks the same and feels the same as a nightclub, and you can sit there, church is beginning to change and beginning to compromise. Churches exist today not only with a fee. There's a church up in Hesperia. The first time I preached this message was in Augusta, Maine. Be careful of the bakeries that you go to hear the gospel. And the bakers that are there making that gospel are preaching that word. Because do you know that there is a church, it used to be anyway, probably like 10 years ago, I think, that had not only a woman pastor, but it was a lesbian church. No way. Okay. You can't say how if we have been tasted of the gospel, how can we be who dead to sin, live and enjoy and be in something, in any sin, much less that one. But you know what I'm saying? You're getting the picture? Be careful of what you're listening to. Be careful who's making the cake for you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're about to choose a baker for this church. And it doesn't matter. It matters to me. When I say it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter if you choose me or somebody else. It does not matter, other than the fact that it better, bless God, be somebody that is going to take this word and rightly divide the word of truth and rightly present the ingredients, not just to the gospel cake, but just the word of God, period, how it applies to your life and how you can get relief, how you can get comfort, but also how you can get repentance. Because repentance isn't just for the lost. Repentance is for believers too, when you have sin to repent from. All it is a change of mind. And my mind was changed once when I didn't even believe in God, didn't even understand the gospel. It was changed then eternally. But then my mind sometimes will need to still be changed again, because if I get taken up in something that I don't belong in. I've preached today and it's the first time I've actually got my voice. But you guys have been so patient, so awesome. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer, and Brother David comes up and leads in it. If you have anything to come forward for, if you're not saved, well, bless God, come forward and get the cake. Get your piece of the gospel cake. And if you are, but there's something you need from God, come and do business with God. You can do business with God at home, but you might get distracted before you get there or by the time you get there. Time to do business with God is now, right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your love, but thank you for your grace that gives us all we have Dear God, I ask you to bless this church. I ask you to give them insight, Father, to the man of God that you would have to be the baker for this bakery, the gospel as it presents to the neighborhood, to their Jerusalem, to their Judea, and to their Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Bless this invitation now, and may you be uplifted and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Number 484.
Father, we just thank you today for this message. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, to come to your church and to hear your word and have fellowship with one another. And just help us to remember these things that were preached about today. We pray that you would help us to apply them to our lives. And we just pray, that, Father, that this week you would be with each and every one of us. Watch over us. Be the person that you want us to be this week. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.